All right, Pooley's in Montreal. It's Habs Rangers tonight, two teams that should be selling. Sounds like Michael Grabner won't even play tonight. There's a chance Rick Nash won't play either. And Dave Poulin joins Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial.
Dave, how do you handle these guys? Are you just saying to them, look, you're going to get moved. We're trying to move you. Just don't. You're just not playing, and they're fine with it?
I think they're totally fine with it, Owen. I actually have to cut this interview a little bit short because I might be in the lineup tonight at the rate they're pulling guys. Like, wow. I got a chance. I think I got a chance.
Yeah, really, you played a long time, Pooley. Why not? Defensive shutdown guy.
Oh, if we keep going and they keep pulling guys, we might have to call you in too.
Oh, believe me. I would bring the heat. Oh, certainly could. But
you know, this morning, though, it's interesting, Owen and Brian, because this morning there was a calm in the Rangers room because they've been so forward with everything and so upfront with everything.
Yeah.
And like, there's a looseness and a calmness that Montreal is really tight right now. That locker room is really tight. And their play is tighter. And I was on that 4-game road trip.
Hang on a sec, Dave. Let me just clarify something. Do you mean tight as in the group is tight, like they're close together, or they're just so...
No, tense.
Oh, okay. Tight. That's what I wanted to know,
tight.
Yeah.
No. Tense tight. And so I was on that Western Road swing other than the Vegas game. Oof. And they weren't very good at all. They did not play very well. And they'll say, well, we just can't score. And no, you can't. But they're not playing well. And they're playing like a team that's waiting for something significant to happen. And then we walked into the Rangers room this morning, and Matt Zuccarello's like, well, you hate when this happens. We put ourselves in this position, but, you know, it looks like we're going to lose some good friends, and, you know, we've had a good run here, and it's time for change, and it's just totally, totally different.
We were talking about John Tavares coming into Toronto tonight, and we kind of joke how we're talking about the game and saying, it probably will be his last time in an Islanders jersey. Do you think that's the case?
I don't. I think they're going to get it done there. I think this is more of a Stamkos scenario than it is a get-up-and-go scenario. I really do. I think they're working on everything they possibly can, including signing the winger that he's most recently played well with, Josh Bailey. And if you think about it, the last couple times he was playing well with somebody, it was boom, out the door. You know, whether it was Kyle Okposo or Matt Molson or whoever it was.
Yeah, but Pooley, what about him making comments saying, I want my team to be a competitor, we want to win? With that goaltending and defensive core, that's just not the case. So if he's true to his word and what he's saying, the Islanders aren't close to the expectation.
They're not. They're actually not bad up front, but if they've convinced him that they've got pieces coming or they can do what has to be done, don't forget when they made that Hamonic deal, they got draft picks. They didn't get players in that deal. And then the idea at that point a year ago was to turn around and use those draft picks to help strengthen this team. They didn't do that. So they're sitting on those assets. Whether they've convinced him now, they're closer to the building. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't know. He seems like such a loyal kid, and that could be misleading, but I think he's going to stay in New York with the Islanders.
With Dave Poulin, what's the sense on Erik Karlsson? I thought it spoke volumes last night that he was dodging the media. I think that was a perfect opportunity for him to come out and say, I don't care about the rumors, I don't care about the chatter, I love being here, I want to be here for the rest of my career, and I'm going to do everything in my power to sign long-term. The fact that he went Kaiser Soze post-game last night, that said a lot to me, Pooley. I took a lot out of that considering what's already been reported, and it just moved even further into the direction that I think Carlson's going to move.
And Brian, I think that's very different from the Tavares case. I do think Carlson's going to move. And it would not surprise me if it's before Monday at 3 o'clock at all. I think that's something that could very well happen. I think there's enough moving parts there and enough chatter there. And, you know, if you look at what he said, he's not going to take below market value. Okay, well, is he going to get that in Ottawa? That's question number one. Two, he wants to play for a full cap team. He's not going to get that in Ottawa.
Right.
Three, he wants to play for a winner right now. He does not want to be part of a rebuild or a retool. He's not going to get that in Ottawa because that's already started. So if two of your three are no's and your first one getting full market value is a question mark, I don't see how he stays or they keep him. And I think with the two playoff run thing, there's an interesting variable that a team can get two runs with him now, even if they don't re-sign him. And that's a pretty good shot. If you can look and say, we get a chance to win two cups in a row, and then we'll deal with whatever we have to deal with at that point, that's pretty lucrative if, in fact, you have the pieces to make it happen.
Well, the getting paid idea, that, again, can be pushed to at least the summer, if not a year and a half from now. But
yes,
being a team that spends to the cap and being a team that can win right now, that cuts out, like, 25 teams. Like, how many teams check off both boxes that they're willing to spend the money, get to the cap, and they're capable of winning a cup this year? How many teams in the league would that apply to?
Well, let's throw his trade list into the mix, too.
Right.
There's a trade list in there that could weed a couple of teams out that potentially, you know, we might be thinking, well, he could go there. So we don't know what that trade list is.
You're
either,
talking about so. Five teams, Pooley, bottom line.
Arguably.
Honestly, I think three of them are in his division. It's Tampa, Boston, and Toronto.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. And how complicated does that make this deal?
Imagine, guys, paint this scenario. Can you imagine revisiting a Chara situation from years ago if he goes to Boston and is their anchor defenseman for the next 10 years? That would be revisited.
Yeah.
How busy of a time is it, Dave? How busy of a time is it for Pierre Dorion? I mean, is he just locked in a room right now with his team and he's just literally saying, what are you going to give for him?
He is, oh, and I've been through this scenario before when I worked in Anaheim, and we had a similar situation with Chris Pronger, and you know, at the trade deadline, and that's what we did. Inevitably, we waited until I was part of the scouting staff, then we waited until the summer to trade him, but we looked at everything at that point, literally locked in a room with huge spreadsheets of what could potentially happen with the different deals around the table. That's exactly what he's doing right now.
Don Brennan from The Sun in Ottawa just tweeted out that Ottawa is playing Tampa tonight, shockingly enough. And he said, quote, "I didn't see it, but guys are saying Carlson faked going into the Tampa room when he got to the rink."
Now, that would be so Carlson. And he was, you know, we were down at the All-Star game, and the fact that he was skating with Kucherov and Stamkos in 3-on-3 was almost comical. It was almost like John Cooper said, "Watch this.
Wow.
This will be fun."
I could see that. And that terrifies me in Toronto. Like, the Leafs are up and coming, and I don't think there's such a thing as a super team in the NHL with the salary cap being what it is. But, man, if Tampa works that out and they don't have to take out a significant piece off their current roster and you add Erik Karlsson into the mix.
Well, Boston's got some nice young pieces, too, though. I mean, Boston goes pretty deep right now in prospects and what's not in Boston right now. They've got a half a dozen kids that they think are going to play, whether they replace players in their lineup and somebody from their lineup moves. So don't count them out either, Ryan. Don't, you know, and obviously both teams are a little too close to home for Toronto to would like to not see that happen.
Well, no kidding. Either one, you don't want to see it happen. You're going to face them in the first round or second round if you're lucky enough to get there. And
4 years to come, potentially?
For a long, long time. Well, and maybe the counter is any combination of these three teams. If you swing and miss on Carlson, you call the Rangers and ask about Ryan McDonagh. What's your take on him as a player?
He's not in the lineup tonight. He's not even here, so I don't know whether what he's got going, but they didn't even take him out of the lineup. They just didn't bring him.
Really? Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. You know what? You just stay at home, and we'll just pull Grabner 2 hours before the game and Nash right before the game, and we'll get the chatter going all over the place.
Oh,
here.
It's going to be buzzing, man. Something's going to happen tonight. Something will happen tonight.
It certainly sounds like it. I think there's a few sleepless nights ahead of this group. I really do.
Yeah, Uli, what would a Leafs for Carlson trade look like? Just before you go.
While
you've been in the room, you would kind of know what an offer would look like. What would something look like?
Well, the one interesting thing you say about that, is they have proven in Toronto that they can take whatever contracts they want and do whatever they want with them wherever they want. I mean, they've got, you know, I was looking at UFAs. I'm like, oh, geez, Joffrey Lupul's a UFA. And, you know, and Nathan Horton's not a UFA for a few years. And when you look at their salary on NHLNumbers.com, they're $10 million higher than everybody else's. And so, you know, you think of that Ryan contract and how that could impact the return for Carlson. And there is a club that could take that contract on without an issue.
Yeah, they probably could.
You may never see him again.
But
Dave, you didn't answer the question. What would a Leaf offer look like?
Get crazy, Pooley.
Okay, it's got to be one of Marner or Nylander.
Yeah.
It's got to be a first-round pick and a prospect. And then if you offered those three things and then took the Ryan money back?
Well, I think the deal would be done. I don't think the Leafs would do that. I think if you put the Bobby Ryan contract on the table, it drastically changes everything.
It does, unless you run into a situation. It doesn't change it for Toronto, though. They've proven that.
Well,
it doesn't. They're the one team that it doesn't change it for financially.
I guess if you make them disappear.
And so now, if you're still going to put prospects that are the equivalent of anybody else's best offer and take the money, if you were in Toronto and one of the other scenarios that we were talking about, Tampa or Boston, had that kind of financial clout and power, we'd be worried about it, Brian. We would be.
Yeah.
We'd be going, you know what? They could take that and, yep, and make it happen.
You're right. All right, Pooley. Sure. Enjoy the call
guys.
Tonight.
Okay, have a great night.
There's Dave Poulin joining us from Montreal ahead of the Habs-Rangers game tonight on Overdrive. Brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca.